Okay, good morning. This is the KPFA LSB regular meeting, October 20th, and calling the meeting to order. We're going to have our secretary take roll call.
Carol Wolfley, KPFA LSB meeting, October 20th, roll call, Sharon Adams.
Present.
Sharon Adams present. How's that, Richard? Talk louder. Okay. Ahmad Anderson.
Here.
Ahmad Anderson present. Marilla Arguelles.
Present.
Marilla present. William Campisi. William Campisi present. Chris Corey.
Here.
Chris Corey present. Brian Crowell. Brian. Okay. Asked to be excused. Christina Huggins.
Present.
Christina present. Scott Olson. Scott Olson absent. T.M. Scruggs asked to be excused. Aki Tanaka will be late. Ramses Tian Nichols is calling in on Zoom. I assume, is he on?
I'm having technical difficulties. I've got Zoom open, but I'm not sure he has the right invitation. It's a long story. I don't want to hear.
Ramses, we will get back on that one. Carol Travis?
Here.
Carol Travis here. Andrea Turner. Andrea Turner is not here. Asked to be excused. Tom Voorhees asked to be excused. Carol Wolfley, I am here. Lisa Detmer asked to be excused. Anthony Fest.
Here.
Anthony Fest here. Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs here. Tim Lynch asked to be excused. Richard Walensky.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, I'm here, but, you know, mark whatever you want. I'm here.
No, I mark the reality. I try to go for reality.
That's not a regular
topic. Okay, Steve Zeltzer.
Here.
Steve Zeltzer here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people present. We may have other people on Zoom. And I have, yes, Steve.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah, Ahmad, he's not here right now, but this is the first time I've seen him since I've been on the board here.
Okay, I think that's out of order right now.
I was just asking. Yeah.
We're just calling
I asked before
the role.
On the list what was going on.
I'm calling the roll right now.
Yeah. Well, that's why I asked the question.
It's out of order. Okay. It's because of Richard.
Well, I'm wondering if it's all the equipment. Maybe we should have it taken.
Could you come get your phone?
We're getting an echo.
No, Carol, she thinks it's because you're playing the mic into it. Because it's the speaker behind you.
Okay.
Turn it sideways.
Okay. I make a motion for us to accept the excused absences. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Christina, we've got a motion 6 for those people to be excused. We have a motion for.
I seconded it.
Thank you. She seconded it.
All in favor of the motion to excuse those who asked to be, please raise your hands. All in favor of the excused absences, raise your hands.
12, 15.
All those opposed? No opposed. The motion carries.
And Quincy McCoy asked for an excused absence. Quincy McCoy.
Maybe we should move the speaker a little bit so we didn't hear the speaker. Is it the speaker that's causing that? Okay.
So I think that.
Okay, so we're
on the agenda.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and read the group agreements. Speak with each other respectfully using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name calling or personal insults. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedures, and respecting the directions of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack during meetings. Raise hands to be recognized by the facilitator. Honor individual time allocations per share, and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. If a situation arises when a participant is not willing to honor the above agreements after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting. So we go on to approve the agenda.
It's okay if she wants us to close.
So, has everybody had an opportunity to review the agenda? It was sent out by email before. Do I have a motion? Yes. You have a question, Anthony?
Yes. I think, as per normal practice, the agenda should be amended so that public comment is first. Public comment should be item 2.5.
I wanted to check with Renee about your... there you are. Renee, about your schedule. Are you okay? I put you on first because I didn't know if you had to go.
Oh, you put me on first.
Yeah, but are you okay with us moving? Can you stay a little longer? They want to put public comments first. Okay.
Okay, so motion to amend the agenda to put the public comments right after 2.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor? All those opposed?
Oh, keep your hands up.
Oh, sorry.
Or maybe you should ask for any. But okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Okay. Thank you. No. Unanimously carries. Okay. So
another matter as to the agenda. Item 13, Pacifica bylaws considerations. I don't know how that got there. We had a bylaws matter on the previous month's agenda, and it was dealt with. Therefore, the oldest item of old business is now the Assange motion. So the Assange motion should become the first item of old business on this month's agenda.
I put it there because there are some follow-up issues about the bylaws amendment. And so it is there so that we can discuss how we want to implement the resolution that was passed at the last minute at the last meeting. I also wanted to make a proposal to add the evaluations to as number 15. of the general manager and program director.
Wait, there's a, we should do one at a time, actually.
Well, I didn't know. Anthony was...
Yeah, I second Anthony's proposal that we have the Assange. We've already dealt with this bylaw thing, and I think it's appropriate that we, the board, have a vote on the Assange resolution, which has already, by the way, been passed by the Pacifica National Board. It's been on the agenda for the last 3 months of the KPFA board, so I think we should deal with it, have a vote on it, and move on.
Okay, so on moving the Assange motion to... exchanging with the bylaws motion. All those in favor?
I'd like a roll call.
Okay, if we have a roll call, that takes a vote to have a roll call, and this is parliamentary procedure. And it is, I was displeased to see that people are citing nefarious intent to just using Robert's rules. When it was pointed out to me, I said roll call requires a vote. And the reason for that is because it takes a lot of extra time generally. So, all those in favor of having a roll call vote, raise your hands.
Two.
All those opposed?
Okay, hold on. Five.
And the motion fails. So,
That was a motion. We can keep track of the motions, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I believe we're now on the exchange, on making the Assange motion, exchanging it with the bylaws consideration. So it's been seconded. So all those in favor of the moving the Assange motion above and the bylaws motion, exchanging it basically, raise your hands.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Chris
eight. Eight.
Eight. All those opposed?
Zero.
Abstentions? Two abstentions. The motion passes. We're moving around. Okay. Yes, Steve.
Yeah, on the agenda, I'd like to know, is this executive session, it is going to deal with personnel issues. Is that what the executive session is going to deal with?
Yes. Yes, Carol?
On the executive session, if it's proper, I'd like to add something about information of what's going on in the PNB that has to be. Anyway, we can deal with it when we get in there.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. Yes, Anthony.
This is just a point of information, but it's going to be executive session, but even so, I think the full board, the members of the public present, ought to have a glimmer of what this topic is going to be, not just personnel. The officers apparently know. I don't know. I don't know if the rest of the board members know. So why are we having it?
We will have a report out after the session on what it is. Go ahead, Ahmad.
If I may, if it is a personal matter and we do have the issue, this is Ahmad Anderson. If there is a personal matter, one, we should know the nature of the personnel matter. Two, since we're also looking at the evaluation forms, which are personnel matter, my motion is to move that item, which is clear, to that group as well.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second.
Yeah.
Do I have questions on that? Marilla was
first. I have a question.
Marilla was first.
I'm just seconding.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
You have
Steve.
A question. Is there anyone from management attending this meeting?
No.
No. Well, I don't see how we can have a discussion of personnel unless after we're going to be dealing with personnel issues.
We'll talk about that in the executive session. Thank you for your note. Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving right along, we are... What?
Oh, we added the evaluation. Okay, never mind. We have to vote on that.
Okay,
we have to vote on it.
Okay, so all those in favor of the evaluation being blended into that?
Into the executive session.
Please raise your hand.
One, two, three, four. Okay, sorry. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
All those opposed?
Two opposed.
All those abstentions?
Abstaining.
One abstaining.
So we're talking about that.
It's okay. She abstained. It's okay.
Abstaining.
Abstentions are abstaining.
Yeah.
Linguistic terminology.
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, I just noticed that we're going to have this executive session before, this is Steve Zeltzer, before we have the vote on Assange motion. And what that would mean is that the people that have come to give public comment are basically going to have to wait till the executive session is over. And because the executive session comes before the vote on Assange, I think that's inappropriate. I think we have only a few people here to make public comment. They should be able to make the public comment, and then we can go into the executive session. So I make a motion that we put the public comment before the executive session.
It is before the executive session. We already voted on
that, and we did do so, sir, at 2.5, Anthony, correct?
It is 2.5. So it is going to come up before the executive session.
We've already done
Yes,
that.
Sir.
Yes.
Thanks for taking
time.
Don't pay
attention.
If I could, as a former HR director for Pacifica Foundation, we can talk about the personnel matter without the management being here, but I don't recommend that a vote be taken about any of the matter.
Thank you, Ahmad. Okay, so...
Can you please speak up? Louder. I can't hear anything.
Well...
It's sort of muffled.
You can't hear me?
I'm
speaking. I thought I was speaking fairly loudly. Can you hear me now?
Pull away from the mic a little bit.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Come closer then. If you can't hear us, you can move closer. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Move the whole table up here.
Right. Okay, so.
Carol, don't do it.
Okay, thank you, Anthony. And Anthony turned it up, so you should be able to hear now. Thank you. Yeah, I'm hoping not. Yeah, he turned it up. It should be okay now. Can you hear me? Richard,
good?
My friend.
You guys?
Now I can hear you.
Thank you, compadre.
Doing a test. Okay.
Good. Yo estoy aquí.
All right.
Bueno. Yes.
Motion to approve the agenda as amended.
On the vote to approve the agenda as amended, please raise your hand if you're in favor.
One, two, three, four. You guys want to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Thank you. Any no's? Any opposed? Or abstentions? Nope. Motion passes. So we will go into...
this is first. We didn't move the LSB meeting changes yet. We want to do that?
Well, we moved the public comments up to after the agenda, so we will do public comments now.
Sorry. Okay, this is Tricia Beretta on Julian Assange issue. It is so disturbingly wrong that we should have to beg KPFA to support Julian Assange as he's being illegally detained, censored, and risks execution for championing our rights to freedom of press and information. As the most important government transparency advocate living today, his crime comes down to information liberation. Information liberation in this increasingly oppressive atmosphere of authoritarian control and of political thought and knowledge. And while many of the KPFA programmers and governing board members seem to take the paternalistic establishment stance that your listeners need to be protected from information and thoughts that might ruin our brains, A great many of us are looking for a wide broadcast of unfiltered WikiLeaks-style exposure to real history in the making, so that we can hold the people in our government accountable. So who at KPFA is deciding the parameters of our political exposure and thought and discourse, and why? Let your vote on the support of Julian Assange be transparent today, before the board elections, and please vote like Lou Hill was watching. He would no doubt support Julian Assange.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello. Good morning. On pledge drives days, we get a different kind of KPFA. It's kind of a PBS version of KPFA. We get nostalgia. We get Democrat Party mania. It's difficult to hear current information from current activists. It's like KPFA slips into much more ineffective mode. And then I listen a lot, and it seems that communism is mentioned every day, and then we get immediate condemnation of communism, which I think there may be an agenda there against the truth. This is the third meeting that we've proposed to support Julian Assange, and it's been delayed. I'm glad there's going to be a vote today. There's an epidemic of censorship. WikiLeaks, the Proper Not McCarthyite Washington Post list has been imposed by Facebook and Twitter, and it seems that KPFA, with the censorship of Bonnie Faulkner, is part of a wider censorship government agenda, I don't know, to limit free speech. Why is public comment reduced often to 1 minute? And aren't board meetings supposed to be transparent? Why is there no roll call when board members vote? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Yeah, I've been a supporter of KPFA for many, many years. I can't even remember when I started. Always paid like per month. I stopped this because I was so upset. I stopped this last year because I was so upset about them jumping on board in some of the places I heard in KPA. Some of the people I heard jumped on board with the anti-Russia thing. What is that all about? I mean, it just really upsets me. And then being against Julian Assange, you know, you hear this stuff, and this is what we're for, not against. And it just got me so upset. Well, I recently jumped on board again because there's good stuff comes to KPFA, even though I hear a lot of the news, the regular news. You guys know it's only owned by like about 7 people. All the news we get, the television, all that stuff, it's all lies. So much of it is lies. The only truth you can get is a place like KPFA. Even the pretty new Republicans, NPR. You know, they tell a lot of lies, too. And the only way we can get our truth was from KPFA. So, you know, you guys, you know, sign this thing about Julian. He wrote this great, whereas, therefore. Read it if you haven't read it. You have to have read it. And you know, jump on board with this and stop this. I mean, even Amy is saying stuff, and I don't know. What are people getting a call, and they're told, if you do this, we'll get rid of you? People are just, Amy, she knows this stuff, and she's saying it anyway. What? So anyway, that's just I'm very upset with it, but I love KPFA. He doesn't like it during the fundraisers. I like it best during the fundraisers. They offer so many good things. So anyway, that's when I joined, was during the fundraiser. So
thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Is there another speaker? Thank you.
My name is David. Walker. Okay, I'm hot now. My name is David Walker, and I travel a lot. I listen to a lot of community radio, and I just wanted to thank you for KPFA. I really enjoy it. I learn a lot, and I am going to take this in a completely different direction. I know I would like to propose a new political party. I know Ralph Nader did us a favor, gave us George Bush with a third party, so I know this is controversial, but sometimes the times are right. And I think that we're finding that, I don't think any of us want to agree, but I think that Trump may just turn out to be the greatest president we've ever had because he's bringing us all to democracy. We're all getting involved. And I think that one of the things that I would like to propose, the party called the Know Something Party. Those of you familiar with the Know Nothing Party in the 1850s, it was a nativist, xenophobic party that was started from a secret society of the Whigs. I would like to propose that we run Henry George for 2020 against Trump. Now, he died 1897, but we're going to have a convention, and at the convention, we'll have a list of planks, and I would suggest the first one be his, a single tax on property to provide what we need for the country. Now, that's just the first plank, and it's quite a significant one, because if everybody had $1,500 a month to add to their income, we would solve a lot of problems.
Thank you. Time.
That's my time?
Yes. Right. Thank you for your for speaking up.
This could go on for days.
We could run paper. Oh, it could. And
anybody else?
We can remember the Yippies ran Pegasus, the Chicago convention. I appreciate the people speaking here. I think that there's a lot of passion and a lot of love for KPFA here. I did want to read out what the local station board in executive session spoke with the manager of the last meeting, and anybody that was not able to hear our report out afterwards, I want to repeat the report out that we gave out on executive session. This is regarding the guns and butter issue. I would go out on a limb here and say I don't think anybody sitting here on the board is in favor of censorship of any kind. We interviewed the manager. We reviewed what the information was. And as our report out is that the KPFA LSB has investigated the removal of guns and butter from the Pacifica KPFA airwaves, and the majority of the LSB agreed that journalistic standards were not followed and that progressive discipline processes were followed. And that majority support the GM, and that was passed 11 yes and 3 no and 1 abstention. So that was our position on that. As far as Julian Assange, I just want to also say, from my perspective, I am not against censorship or of any kind or journalists being held hostage or murdered and cut into little pieces or all the journalists that are being killed in Mexico City or, as Richard Walensky said, kids in cages. Or I'm not for any of that. That's why we're here for KPFA. I'm not for the school-to-prison pipeline. I'm not for all of these many things that are so wrong in our society. That's why we're here. And our general role as board members, I'm talking. Our general role as board members is to support the free information that is broadcast over KPFA's airwaves. And I wanted to that. Sometimes it's good to go back to see who you are and where you come from. And I just wanted to very briefly say, here's what KPFA's mission statement says. KPFA's mission: to promote cultural diversity and pluralistic community expression, to contribute to a lasting understanding between individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to promote freedom of the press and serve as a forum for various viewpoints, to maintain an independent funding base. Sometimes it's good to go back to who you really are and what we stand for. So I just wanted to reiterate that. Yes, Steve.
Yeah, well, since we're having a discussion about public comment, it seems that the process that the show was removed, I have an issue with. I don't think it was a transparent process. It was a unilateral action, in my view, of the management. I don't agree with that process, and I think that that is one of the issues. If you're going to have a removal of a program, which has a long history, tremendous history at KPFA and Pacifica, to do it unilaterally like that is a problem and a mistake, and has turned off a lot of listeners who support KPFA and what her show was, whether you agree with the show or not. And I think that we have to understand we need a transparent and democratic process. It's not a corporate-type operation, and it shouldn't be as far as removal of shows.
Okay, well, we're going to move on after this, but I will say that the reason that we went into the executive session and that Ahmad referred to it recently is that there are laws in the state of California regarding proprietary information of people who are working, and that was why it went into executive session. And the majority voted, as I said. So I'm going to pass it to Carol, and then we have to hold on a second. Go ahead, Carol.
There's two different issues, I guess, on the floor. One is about Julian Assange and one is guns and butter. On Julian Assange, somebody who spoke said that we've taken a position against supporting Julian Assange. We have not done that. I just wanted that to be clear.
Thank you. Okay, so hold on a second. Now we're going to go for the report from the KPFA local election supervisor. As people know, we have elections coming up. This is very important because that's what our government's is based on, is fair and free elections. Hold on just a second, Ms. Carroll.
I wanted to make a statement about in response to the public comments issue. Okay. I'm Carol Wolfley, Secretary of the KPFA Local Station Board. I want to be clear about a lot of people came to talk about the guns and butter issue. And my concern was that no one mentioned the issues of Holocaust denial or calling for a preemptive war against Iran. Those programs were run with no public questioning, no call-ins, no debate, no listener questions. And when there are a series of programs that have a lot of allocations without facts backing them up or even questioning, that is against the policies of KPFA to have quality investigative reporting. Now, we have to balance what is free speech and what... So KPFA programmers have the option always of choosing their programming. So when you propose a statement, I don't understand what people should do. I mean, that's one thing. But I really want to encourage you that if you have issues, contact the programmers. They're the ones with the power. There are staff members here, and you can talk to them. Talk to the programmers. They have an unpaid staff organization. They have a staff organization. If you have feedback about those shows, write to those programmers and let them know and make requests. That's what we can do.
Thank you. Yes, Anthony.
Point of order. I don't know if it's in Robert's rules, but it's been the custom of this board for the previous terms I've been on it that board members do not reply to public comments. The public comments just stand. I guess I would leave it up to the members of the public whether they want to hear answers from board members or not, but I hope it won't go on very long because, as I say, it's not been our practice before.
And I think we're in an unusual situation. Go ahead, Ahmad.
I'd say that both Chris and Carol made statements more than a response to and giving some fact and background as to the board's responsibility and also providing some insight and direction on where there's another avenue to be able to have that dialogue in support of the conversation. I don't believe it was a back and forth, but giving some history as the mission and giving some background as to the, another way. Just a statement for those listening and those who are here.
Thank you, Ahmad. Anthony.
Very quickly. Even so, it's not an agenda item, so I hope we'll move on from it.
Yes, go ahead, Sabrina. Yeah, it is up to the discretion of the chair, and it was if we want to make sure that the people, the first thing I said was I wanted to make sure people understood what our report out was, because they're passionate about what they think, and they have a right to know what the board was, and if they weren't here last time, that was the clarity that I tried to impart, and it's been a very emotional issue for people, and I have compassion for that, and I think that's important. So with that, I think we can move along to the, I want to keep the election supervisor here all day. So did you want to say something? Okay, go ahead, Richard.
Yeah. I'll move over here. Yeah, this is very, very, very quick. I've noticed here in the almost 2 years, God help me, that I've actually been on this board. When people do speak, they kind of want to hear a response, because otherwise we sound like we're stonewalling, and that's the last thing we want to do. So, Anthony, I understand what you're saying, and, you know, I'm of two minds of it. I agree with you, but I also at the same time feel that people do deserve a response. They come here. They come here, and they're speaking, and we let them speak. And, you know, I went to a meeting in 2010 when the morning show was removed, and a lot of people spoke. And because there was no chance of interaction whatsoever, people were sitting there and they were, you know, playing games on their computers and stuff. And the result was that those of us who came to listen were completely, we felt like we were shut out in a way that isn't, at least to my perspective, as someone who was a folio editor for a long time and put in everything that people responded, I feel that the feedback is important for our audience. So that's my perspective, and I do understand why we're not doing it, and all I can say is I would love to, but that's the way it goes. That's all.
Okay, thank you very much. Sharon, did you want to say something before we...
Okay, I agree with Richard, so I want to actually respond. I really do. I loved Guns and Butter. I loved it so much that I did write to Bonnie several months ago because she had a show. Okay, this is not the current controversy, but she had a show where she had some guy on that was saying there was all this water under the crust of the earth, and I am a scientist, and I listened to this guy, and I'm like, no, it's wrong. And then I researched it, and then I wrote to her, and I'm like, and then she talked with the guest, and he was saying, basically, I'm just going to tell you, he was saying that because there's a lot of OH, which is a chemical, locked up in a rock underneath the mantle of the earth, that you would add an H to it, then you'd have H2O. And my response to her is, that's not water. I mean, if you're saying there's water under the earth, then there should be water, not some component that becomes water. And I said, and what it does is it makes your show look not credible. And the reason why I'm writing to you, and I wrote to her and I had an ongoing email exchange, I said, because I want your show to be credible. I like your show. And when she gave me no response, I wasn't dealing with management or anything. I was just like, look, you're putting out bad science. I mean, science, you know, you can argue about facts, about what, how many people were in the Holocaust. Do we know? No, we do not know, okay? He didn't deny the Holocaust. I listened to the show. He said there was 300,000. I don't profess to claim what I know with the numbers, but you know what I know? I know that water is H2O. And when she was putting out bad science and she wouldn't retract it or make any statements, I actually started to question the credibility of her show in general. So I just want you all to understand that it wasn't just this show. And there was other things that led up to it. And I was not part of management, and I didn't, like, deal with management on this. I'm just sharing this as my perspective.
Okay. Chris hasn't spoken yet. Go ahead.
In addition to
what Sharon just said, to add to it, it reflects poorly on the station when the credibility of one of the programs is undermined. So, I mean, when programs are reviewed by management, this is one of the considerations that happens.
Thank you, Chris. I'm going to Carol, Travis, and then we're going to move on.
The show, if I were in management, which I wasn't, and the decision did not just have to do with the show that is the questionable show. It had to do with the history and also the reticence to have discussions about what goes on the air, et cetera. But if I were in management, I would have canceled her on the basis of the show alone, because the show opens up with a call for preemptive war against Iran in order to free the American people from the Israel lobby. And by having a bloodbath in reaction to us doing a preemptive war to wake us up, with then no discussion of the bloodbath in Iran, and also what the Israeli lobby is calling for is preemptive war in Iran. So to say, this is a direct quote of the teaser she put in that show. And now Iran is on the front burner. The only thing that would really get the attention of the American people is if we attack Iran and it turns into a bloodbath for us. That's the only thing that would do it. So calling for preemptive war on our airwaves, and you can listen to it yourself. You can go to, what is it, No Whatever, No Lies Radio, and it's the part two of the ICRC, World War II on the Holocaust. But preemptive war on our airwaves is totally unacceptable.
Thank you. We're going to move along, and finally you get to speak. Turn it over to the election supervisor.
Hello, everyone. How's it going? It's good to be back. I just got pulled into doing the elections this week, so I'm happy to be back. It's been about 8 to 9 years that I haven't, you know, dealt with this process, so I need a few days, so if anybody has any questions and I don't have the immediate answer, I will have the answer for you, and I'll give you my email if you have any questions about the process in general. But I wanted to be just brief today. We're in the nomination phase right now, and it closes this Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I will be at the station Tuesday and Wednesday. We're holding open petition signing, so open to the public petition signing sessions Tuesday evening in the main lobby in KPFA from 7 to 9 p.m. and Wednesday from 12 to 2 p.m. And I'll be at the station on Wednesday through to 5 p.m. If anybody wants to just give me their packet, you can also just scan it and send it to me via email. And if you go to the KPFA webpage, the packet, the candidate packet, can be downloaded right there. It's right on the front page. It says it's election time at Pacifica right now, and I asked them to put a nice big click here. And once you click, you'll find, you know, the election timeline and also a downloadable packet. I don't actually need a hard copy of the packet, so, you know, scanning it and sending it to my email, which is LES_KPFA@Pacifica.org. So that's LES_KPFA@Pacifica.org. That's my email, and I get everything there directly to me. So for the timeline, so again, Wednesday, 5 p.m., so the 24th is when the nominations close, and then the campaign phase starts through the 20th of December, which is, you know, also the voting period. And we're planning to have, you know, everything counted by before Christmas, so that I see you have on the agenda that you were suggesting to change your meeting from December 15th to December 29th, which would mean that, you know, you'd have the results and you could already seat the board to be in, you know, in alignment with the bylaws, which would be to seat the new board before the end of the year. So I just wanted to say that everything, if it goes smoothly, and we're with the national director, who seems to be he's very organized and has, you know, one of the reasons why I took this was like, oh, okay, all right, I can do this, all right, no problem, because he's very clear on direction and seems to have everything under, you know, under control. So it's great. And he suggested actually that I make that announcement. So I'm really happy that you guys actually have that as part of your agenda. And what else was I going to speak about? So I just wanted to let you know a little bit what I'm doing right now. Is I have the listener list from the MEMSIS database that I have experience in database management and data analysis. So I'm in charge of cleaning all the lists. And I also got the hard copies of all the volunteers. I'm entering, you know, all those volunteers. So nobody will be, missed from, you know, from getting a ballot. And this year we are doing mostly electronic. So whoever needs a paper ballot will get one also. But if basically anybody for whom we have an email, we're going to first send them an email for once. But we can, you know, I'll be available for questions right after if anybody has a question about that. Is there a secure place at the station to drop off ballots? You know, I don't have that information yet. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. You can drop off at the station to Josh, and I have a box. Yeah, Josh is the guy who's at the front, mailman, yes. Yeah, and so he actually, I was just there, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday, and I know exactly where my box is, and he assured me everything would go there. Just one second, I just wanted to see if I had anything else to say. In terms of the lists, I know that basically I'm still also working on the staff list, so I should have all of those, basically all the members, voting members, hopefully by Monday.
We have one question here.
So, yeah. You mean during the, yeah, I mean, if you ring and you should be able to just walk. I mean, there's someone there usually answering the door, at least during business hours and even after business hours. But I would suggest if you are going to drop it off in person that you come to, when I'm there, which is Tuesday and Wednesday. And I will, you know, we're holding the petition signing event in the evening so that if people need to come after work, they can come after work. And then during the day to capture basically the last minute push. So, yeah.
Carol? Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Carol.
It's my understanding that people can use any form for staff signatures, because on the packet there are listener signatures, but that those can also be used for staff, or people can use another piece of paper that has the name and the intention.
So the current packet that's online right now includes a staff petition, but yes, of course, if you already started and you've collected your signatures, I'm not going to refuse. I mean, a valid signature is a valid signature. I'm not going to, you know, refuse something because the first packet wasn't complete. Yeah, of course, yes. Yeah.
When you get the email by scan, are you planning to respond and say, got it?
Yeah, of course.
Great,
yeah,
thanks.
But what I wanted to emphasize was that it's up to the individual candidate's responsibility to make sure it's complete. I'm obviously going to be checking all the signatures and make sure that everybody, you know, whoever's running is a member, and whoever's signing for that, you know, signing the petition are also members. But beyond that, if somebody gives me basically 15 names and only 10 of them are members, It's not up to me to tell, oh, you have to go get five. Now, if I have time and I figure it out beforehand, it's just also a question of time, because I don't want to, you know, anybody who wants to run, I want them to run. I will respond and say, oh, I noticed that this is incomplete, but that's not necessarily my responsibility. So,
thank you.
So,
what are the hours for the petition signing?
Tuesday evening, the petition signing event will be Tuesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. in the foyer, and the same thing Wednesday, 12 to 2. And then I will be physically in the station until 5 p.m. on Wednesday, when, you know, so if you want to hand me your packet, yeah. So.
Carol?
Briefly, just for everyone here, describe the fair campaign provisions.
Put me on the spot here. I have it here, actually. The fair campaign. So it's part of the package here.
Yeah, wanted to make a public statement that basically it's that candidates cannot be on the air talking about, they cannot be on the air of their candidates if they're listener candidates during this time.
Unless, of course, it's their candidate statement being aired or an actual debate that's online. So, yes, that is the case. The fair campaign provisions is part of the packet. So, you know, each candidate who does want to run should read through them. And as I said, I'm just, you know, getting back into this, so I don't have this thing memorized, but I do know what you just mentioned is the most important thing. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Marilla?
This will apply more to the next phase of the process, but I was very distressed the last time. Some of it was unavoidable, but some of it I don't think was. And that is that I don't think candidates are being encouraged to give us a complete filling out of the forms that are provided. Many people don't turn in their histories or their statements or their intentions, and all those things I think are very valuable for listeners who don't know people face to face. It's the only way you can tell. And I was under the impression that I would say more than half of the people did not do that. So I hope that it's going to be encouraged.
It's a requirement to hand those. I don't know what happened the last time. But the packet is, well, no, it's
the
fine.
Packet for the listener group, it says required on the document to answer those questions.
Yes.
It must be completed in full. The profile information must be completed in full as well.
Yeah. It's all also, I don't know what happened the last time, but when I was here. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to make sure everything's posted online and that all of the information that each, you know, that everybody needs to complete this full package. Otherwise, they're not a candidate. That's it. And your candidate statement and the answers to the questions will be online. So.
Thank you.
There are optional ones. See, there are no option. There's no optional ones. The part of the nomination material is completed cover sheet, candidate statement, candidate questionnaire, signed fair campaign practices, and the nomination petition. There's no optional. None of those are optional. They have to all be completed. Now, as I said, I don't know what happened last time. I wasn't here, but the 2 years that I was LES and then NES. These are key pieces that have to be part of the, you know, if you want to run and to be part of it, you have to at least, you know, complete the packet. So just to assure you that they will all be complete and they will be posted online.
Thank you. Steve, did you have a question?
Yeah. Thanks for doing this, Renee. It's a tough job. So I appreciate it.
No problem. The
question I ask, is it going to be possible to have video statements of the candidates? So candidates.
That's an interesting question. I haven't actually gotten to the, when we're recording people's statements, I don't see why not. It's just a little bit technically a little bit more difficult to get done because right now I do all of the audio recording myself.
Yeah.
So I'm not a video person, but I know that it's easy enough to do it with a telephone or, that's actually would be a good, I'll think about it and okay. See if I can technically do it for everyone. Then I would say yes. If only, and then it can be optional whether or not somebody
sure.
wants it.
Yeah, you shouldn't force a person to want. So I have another question. A lot of elections, school board, different. They have a video statement of the candidate. The other question I have is on write-ins. Say if somebody is not a member but became a member and they want to be a write-in candidate, what's the process for that?
Write-in candidate, but that's already when people are voting, right?
Yeah.
Well,
we had a controversy on this board about write-in candidates who some people feel they're not eligible. So
if they're not members,
yeah, no, they've been members.
Oh, okay.
So the question is
that would be something that actually I would discuss with the NES and but again, this is something that. Last time I did this job, there was no problem with having write-ins. I mean, if you got a certain percentage of the vote, you were using single transferable voting. So if you're a write-in and you get, 12% of the vote, you're going to be seated.
I was just.
But let me confirm that, obviously. I should confirm that just about write-ins. Okay.
I'm on the national board, and I think although the national board has nothing to do with elections. So,
right.
But I think that the video stuff should be confirmed also with the NES. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's a great idea. I have no idea, but I think it should be confirmed, and maybe it should be uniform, but I don't know if that's true either.
Right, sure.
I would be concerned. I was a write-in. So two things. I filled out my documents. I sent it in. I asked for confirmation, did get confirmation. I called, and they confirmed it. And then they said they lost it, and I was a write-in, and here I sit. But if the requirement is that you need to fill out that form and you need to provide the information, then that contradicts write-ins.
Right.
Because just as people mentioned about transparency, they have no idea other than people may love you. They have no idea of the other greater 6,000 members that may be that, no idea what you stand for, and I think that would negate whether you got 20% of it. It would negate because you did not follow the political practice rules as designated.
Right. Well, I'll ask. I'm good.
And I say that from experience. Yeah. Like I said, I was the national HR director. I was the interim GM at KPFA Radio. When Renee was there, and we went through a million cases of trying to just get some clarity. And so to streamline the process, we need to make sure that we're held accountable to what we put out there.
Right.
Thank you, Ahmad. Okay. Thank you very much. We really appreciate you taking the time to come out and give us
a report. No problem.
All right. The next order of business is the proposed LSB meeting changes. December meeting 15th to the 29th, because the election will have been already decided then, so it's more appropriate to have the people who are newly elected be able to attend the December 29th meeting for them to see get clued into what's happening. And we want to cancel the November meeting due to the holidays and the unavailable of the North Berkeley Senior Center. We actually had said when we scheduled all of the meetings for this year, so I'm going to remind people that we scheduled an extra one knowing we may have to cancel one of the meetings. And a lot of our people have already let us know they will not be available in November. So that is the proposal, is to cancel the November meeting since a lot of people are out of town and to change the December 15th to December 29th.
So
yes.
No.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Second. Thank you. Yes, Steve.
Yeah. I mean, unless we have people who say that they, the majority say that they can't go to the meeting. I object to canceling meetings, especially when we have the evaluations, we have the elections, we have a lot of issues. And frankly, I think it's a mistake to cancel meetings when these issues have to be addressed. That means, you know, a long time before the next meeting. And I think that that's a mistake, really. I mean, we already cancel meetings, and one cancellation is enough.
No, I don't believe we've canceled any other meetings. We had lack of quorum at one meeting. We have not canceled any other meetings. In fact, we scheduled an extra meeting knowing that we might have to cancel some one of them going forward. So I would reiterate that. So anybody else want to speak on this? We have some people left the room, I think. Richard?
I'm not planning to be at the November meeting, so there you go. At least one person is not going to be there, I suspect. More than that, we have trouble making quorum anyway. November 29th, November 22nd are both times when a lot of people are going to be out of town. Nobody wants to deal with it. You have to move it to the 15th, then I won't be able to make it, and I'm sure other people won't. Huh? And Sabrina's birthday is the 28th, which
there'll be a big
which means I'm definitely not making it the 29th. But so I think given the fact that people don't plan to show up, and we have trouble making quorum anyway, and I'm one of those people who, unless I'm really sick, does show up, I don't think we're going to have a meeting anyway, even if we do schedule it. So that's my point.
That was why we were going to cancel it, because we don't think we'd have quorum. So go ahead, Anthony.
This is kind of vague. Just, oh, some people might not make it. That's
well, I'm going to be in Cuba. So I won't be here. I'll be in Cuba, and I'm the chair. We've had other people have called me and said they won't be here.
My other question is, people are talking about a meeting around, as if it were around the Thanksgiving holiday, but if we did our usual third Saturday thing, that would be the 17th, which is well before the holidays.
Okay, so all those in favor of...
Wait, I didn't get an answer.
An answer? The proposal stands. We've looked at different dates, and this is our proposal. So
what, did you look at the 17th?
Yes. There's a lot of people that will be gone then. November is a very difficult month, and in addition, if you looked what we wrote, we're going to have to find a new place to meet as well, because this place will not be available in November. So go ahead.
It's my understanding that there may be an election event on the 17th for the LSB election.
Thank you. Okay, so.
I didn't hear that.
She said that it's her understanding there will be an election event. There may be an election event on the 17th. So there's a lot going on in November that was a reason that we made this decision. So all those in favor of the number 4, exactly what it says, which is cancel the November meeting and move the December 15th to December 29th through the election, raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
All those opposed? 2.
1, 2.
Abstentions?
1.
2 abstentions?
2
abstentions. Okay, passes. Moving along to the approval of the minutes for August and September LSB meetings. Have people had an opportunity to review those minutes?
I move that we accept the minutes.
Do I have a second? Thank you, Marilla. Second. All those in favor of approving the minutes, raise your hand. Approval of the minutes for September and August. All those opposed? Abstentions? We have one abstention. It passes. Okay, now we will go into executive session to discuss personnel issues. So we would ask we would thank you for the public for coming, and thank you for your comments, and I hope that a lot more people show up at our meetings to listen. We're going to executive session now. Thank you. That will be under old business. That will be under old business, which is after the... Well, we moved it ahead of the bylaws consideration, but we didn't move it up before the executive session. Right. Right. So thank you very much for coming. Session. We will announce when the executive session is finished, and you can come back after the executive session.
We're probably going to take a lunch break too, so I mean, it might be like what 1:30.
Right, probably about 1:30, quarter to 2.
Can we set a time for them?
Sure. We'll set a time certain so you can know.
Quarter of 2.
Okay, quarter of 2. Okay, we're going to go into executive session. We had an executive session and went into lunch, and we are going back on the record here after that, and we have a report out from our executive session. The report out is KPFA LSB discussed issues related to listener and staff members' participation on the KPFA email group, national NETA national accounting contract, and the evaluation of the KPFA general manager and program director. Do we want to make a motion to move the Assange motion up to right after this? Let's do that because these. Okay. So do I have a motion so moved? And a second? And there's a second. Okay, and as there's been a second, so all those in favor, please raise your hands. Yeah, we're moving the Assange motion up to now so we can have discussion, and because they've been waiting long enough. I mean, you're welcome. Okay, so everybody in favor, raise your hands. All those opposed? There's no opposed? No, is there someone opposed? Do you have any abstentions? Okay, so we have a motion on the floor that was brought under old business for the Assange motion, and does someone have a copy of that motion so they can read it? Okay.
Okay. Resolution in support of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks presented to vote on September 20th. Okay. Whereas Assange. Oh, okay. Resolution in support of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Whereas Assange and WikiLeaks have released a vast trove of primary source material, unlike anything that journalists have ever had, such as ready access to. Whereas WikiLeaks releases have made evidence-based journalism more possible than ever before, whereas Julian Assange and WikiLeaks have helped expose the role of the U.S. and other governments' war crimes and violations of international law, and whereas Assange and WikiLeaks have in the Podesta emails, Vault 7, the Trade and Services Agreement, and many other releases exposed the collusion between government officials, politicians, oligarchs, and corporations against the public interest, including even the survival of life on Earth, whereas the U.S. government, along with the U.K. government, are seeking to push Julian Assange out of Ecuador's London embassy to be arrested by Theresa May's government and the U.K. government, and then most likely extradited to the United States for criminal prosecution, and whereas the U.S. government and U.K. government refuse to prosecute any of the war criminals that have been exposed by the whistleblowing of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, and whereas there is a systemic effort by the U.S. government to harass, repress, and jail reporters and whistleblowers who expose corruption and criminal activities by government officials, and whereas U.S. politicians have called for the murder and torture of Julian Assange to silence him, and whereas KPFA and Pacifica Network is also under attack and threatened by the U.S. government and corporations that the U.S. government represents, and whereas the Australia Media Arts and Entertainment Alliance, MEAA Union, made Julian Assange an honorary member for life, waived his fees, and called for his defense of his rights, and whereas leading intellectuals and whistleblowers, including Daniel Ellsberg, John Curico, Ray McGovern, and
Colleen Rowley have called for unity in support of Julian Assange. Therefore, be resolved, the Pacifica National Board and the KPFA Local Station Board call for the freedom of Julian Assange and an end to the harassment, including the halting of Internet and media access at Ecuador's London Embassy, and an end to efforts to jail Assange by either the UK government or the US government, and call for KPFA and Pacifica to launch a campaign on our website and our programming to defend Julian Assange and all journalists and whistleblowers who are coming under increasing attacks by the US government and the corporations who control the government. Lastly, be it resolved that both boards, it would have to be amended because they've already passed it, be resolved that we call for national publicity and programming by all Pacifica-affiliated stations and for the defense of Julian Assange and all journalists and whistleblowers who face threats to their democratic rights. And additionally, Oliver Stone and other journalists have supported this resolution. So that's the motion, and I'm motivated. I do think, again, this is not just about Julian Assange.
Wait, I need to. Do I have a second before you speak on the motion? Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
So, again, this is not just about Julian Assange and what is happening to him, because you have a government for the first time in the history of the United States where the president is actually called journalists scum, has spoken in favor of physically attacking journalists, and you have an upsurge and an escalation of attack on journalists throughout the world, and the murder of journalists in Mexico, and all over the world, Palestine, many, many countries. So, here and everywhere, all over the world, China, all countries. So the purpose of this, so that's growing, and I think the purpose of this is to put us on record saying that we have to defend Julian Assange and all journalists and whistleblowers. And of course, if anything happens at KPFA or Pacifica, it's likely going to happen by the programmers producing work about it. In other words, we don't have a budget to do the things that are called in this thing. And if anything happens, it has to happen because journalists want to do it. One of the things we could do is maybe a cart about Julian Assange, having voices of people why she should be defended. Maybe a public forum on journalists, not just Julian Assange, but other journalists, Khashoggi, others who have been under attack. And so that way it's a broader issue and an issue to educate the public. The thing about the release of WikiLeaks emails is that they actually, as is said in the resolution, provided prima facie documentation of what journalists have been researching. And here it is. I mean, these are the actual emails. And that's a good thing for reporters to have that kind of information. And that's why the government corporations are very angry and unhappy about Julian Assange. So I know there are some here who feel we should talk about him and have programs on him, and that's good. I'm not opposed to that. But I do think, considering the history of Pacifica and our network and the likelihood that we're going to come under attack, we need to step up and say he should be defended. That's it.
Thank you. End discussion? Richard?
I was informed that RT also picked up on the national board thing. I have no problem with a generalized motion on the part of the board regarding journalists, and if Julian Assange's name is in there, that's fine. Singling out Assange, given everything else that's coming out of this administration, I think limits in a very real way what we need to accomplish in Pacifica. And despite my own feelings that I would like to see this, that, or the other thing on our radio, I'm sort of opposed to the idea of forcing people to put programming on the air that they may not want to put on, focusing on Assange as opposed to, say, Khashoggi or anyone else. And so that part makes me uncomfortable. I don't like the idea of the board taking political stands and forcing the station to do things about their political stance, particularly when it's on an issue like Assange, which is somewhat controversial as opposed to some others which are less controversial. So I have a lot of problems with that second part first part I'm okay with. And if it just is Assange, I don't like it, but I'll, you know, if it doesn't really do anything, I'm fine with it if it helps him get publicity. But I'm not in favor of Pacifica focusing in on Assange as opposed to anything else. You know, it's that's my feeling. And I would probably, as written, I would vote against this motion for that reason, even though I support journalists and I don't want to see anything happen to Assange. If that part is removed, fine.
I have an alternative substitute motion. Be it resolved that the KPFA LSB supports coverage of the dire situation of Julian Assange as an independent media voice and the end of attacks on journalists and whistleblowers by the U.S. government and the corporations who control the government, and calls for the end of attacks on journalists and whistleblowers by the U.S. government and the corporations who control the government. So I'd like, do you have a second? Okay. I believe that it is our role to support coverage. We do not tell producers what to put on their shows. That's not our role, but we can support coverage of this of issues. I also feel like it's important in the spirit of investigative journalism always, if we're going to put facts, we need to cite sources for those facts. So I've simplified this motion in the hopes of having something that is more workable. I think that we are not a political party. We're a radio station media source, and that needs to be our focus.
Thank you. That Sharon is next.
I want to start out by saying I do support Julian Assange. So I just want to say that very clearly up front. I also want to address something that was said earlier about communists on KPFA. Richard Wolff is on KPFA. He is definitely a communist. He's on every Friday. Although I will note that he, or at least he talks about communism and socialism quite a bit. Maybe I have his exact political ideology wrong. But I will actually note that he does have the most capitalist contract with Pacifica, where he keeps his shows, and they're not allowed on the archive. That's just my personal comment on that. But going back to the issue before us, I just had to say that. I do support Julian Assange. The PMB has already passed a motion. I did hear it referred to on RT when Randy Credico was on Watching the Hawks, and they brought it up. I do question why Randy Credico didn't go to WBAI and bring this similar motion there, and why we at KPFA have to do that. I'm just saying. And then I don't agree with telling other stations what they should be playing, and for that reason, I do really support Carol Wolfley's motion. But the main thing I really want to say is that the reason I don't support this type of discussion is because we have a lot to do. As you can see, it takes us a long time to just even do basic things. And it doesn't matter what, hey, I'm an activist, and I'm a realist. And guess what? Nobody cares what we vote on this. No, it's not going to change a single thing in the world if we pass this. But we're all going to argue with each other. And that's why I don't agree with doing this kind of thing. My personal take is I don't want to vote on political proposals. Other ones have been brought up, and I have consistently voted no, because I don't think that's what we should be doing. We should be preserving the airwaves so that people can put on shows about Julian Assange. To me, the most important thing is to save KPFA and save Pacifica. And this kind of internal infighting is what destroys it. Thank you.
I absolutely agree with what Sharon just said. And one of the most useful tools of previously the government, and now I think the right wing is much more in charge than the government is to divide people and to pit them against each other. And our job is not to take political stances. Nobody cares what our political stance is. I mean, but it becomes a wedge issue. And wedge issues are one of the number one tools of the right wing to tear effective organizations apart. And so opening the door to having discussions about various political matters when our job is not, we're not a board that is supposed to do policy on United States and or local political matters. We're a board that's supposed to see that KPFA survives and functions. And I also think that some of the language in the original proposal, although I know we're talking on the substitute, and so I support the substitute, but was hyperbole. I mean, to equate, to say that the U.S. is doing this broadly, I mean, I think things are happening to people in ways that are terrifying and terrible and escalating and can escalate because of the fascism that's really in control of our government right now. But, I mean, what do you say when somebody is hacked to death when you've already said we've already been totally oppressed and attacked? I think you have to have appropriate rhetoric. I mean, things are getting worse, but I mean, that's it.
Thank you. I would just say that I totally support Julian Assange getting out and not being persecuted as he has been, but I also am against children being put in cages and families being separated and the murders and attacks on journalists all over the world. For First Nations people being able to vote, you know, and not having their vote suppressed. I'm for their not having their land taken over. So, you know, these are issues that this is the reason we come here and that we serve, because we're for all of these progressive issues. But we're here to support. It's, if you look at our role in the bylaws, our role is to support KPFA Radio, which is a platform for all those issues. And I'm aware that they have been talking about Julian Assange and those issues on KPFA. There has been programming about it. So it's going down a deep well of terrible things that are happening for us to start taking political stances. And I would just say that I am definitely for him being allowed to go free and stop being repressed and stuff. But I don't think that this is our role. And I would just state that as my position. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Does Tom want to speak?
Tom, do you want to speak? Well, you have to speak for him. It doesn't work. Let's see if he wants to talk.
Tom, do you have comments?
Okay, we're going to hold you up to a microphone. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do support the motion. I really don't view it as political. I think we're the folks that are making it political. You know, we need to support journalism and the people that do it.
Anything more?
No, that's it.
Okay. Anybody else have? Go ahead, Anthony. I'll wait. Hold on.
Yeah, I support the original motion because it's not a specific mandate. It's a statement that Pacifica and its stations ought to devote coverage to this vital issue of this historic whistleblower. And it doesn't say Julian Assange must be covered on Flashpoints at 5:30 on Tuesday and on BAI on this show, on, at this time, it's just a general statement of policy that this is a vital issue and an important individual and needs coverage. It's only a wedge issue if somebody makes it a wedge issue. To me, this seems like a slam dunk. This was researched by our very capable reporter, Ann Garrison, and I believe she actually consulted with Daniel Ellsberg as well. So these, I think this material is well-founded. I keep hearing the phrase investigative journalism, but most of what radio does is not investigative, and it's debatable to what extent it's journalism. There's a gray area from just opinion, like Rush Limbaugh and Ron Owens, to fact-based, like KQED's forum, to flat-out journalism, that this politician said this on that day, but he voted this other way. That's journalism. So where does journalism end and begin? Hard to say, but there's no doubt that Julian Assange is a whistleblower of historic importance, and therefore I support the original resolution.
Thank you. Go ahead. Actually, Richard is next.
Yeah, Anthony's statement that it doesn't say this, that, or other thing, specific programs. What it does do, though, is it sets up a situation. We were talking before about evaluation, management evaluation. It does set up a situation where one can ask on this board, we passed this resolution saying blah, 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 political, and you didn't follow through. And that may be because the management didn't really care about the particular issue, and if someone doesn't care, they tend not to put emphasis on it. It could be because they did care and nobody wanted to do anything, except for the people already doing things. But what it does say is it orders management to take a political stance and try to force that political stance on other programmers to create off-air things if they want to. And that sort of thing, I don't think, is what the local board should be doing. So supporting Assange, supporting journalists, in fact, my feeling is that by limiting it to Assange, while some people might think it dilutes it, my feeling is that by talking about all journalists, we're doing what Penn does and what most organizations are doing right now, which is supporting journalism and supporting whistleblowers in general. And that means not merely Assange, but also Snowden, which is extremely important too. And so that's why I'm in favor of Carol's motion over that one. The amendment, whatever it is, yeah. And that's why I support that.
Okay. Well, we have a call for an amendment to the substitute motion. Okay, and then Steve is next after that.
I'd like to amend the substitute motion to say that we support all attacks on all journalists and are concerned about the climate and that is making the press targets.
Do I have a second on the? I do need a second on the proposed amendment for a substitute motion. I do need a second.
So you got one.
I have a second. All those in favor of the addition, the amendment?
The motion to
amend the substitute. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it's really strange that you have real journalists and real whistleblowers supporting this motion. Daniel Ellsberg, Chris Hedges, Oliver Stone, who we advertise on our air all the time when it comes to fundraising. We support these people. We allow their voices to be heard. These are the important people. And these important people and journalists are supporting this resolution. They're supporting Julian Assange. And yet we have people who feel, well, we can't really call for the defense of Julian Assange personally. That's beyond and above what KPFA and Pacifica is doing. And then we have a comment here that we have fascism. You know, there's a fascist state. That's a fascist state. Well, frankly, if it's a fascist state, we wouldn't have KPFA and Pacifica. They would shut us down. Yes, in fascism, that's what they shut down all independent media, which is what Pacifica and KPFA are. What I'm concerned about is that they are moving in that direction. And if it was up to Trump, he would do that. He would shut us down. He would do it, but he's constrained by a number of things. The point is, though, is our journalists, our reporters in Pacifica are under threat. They haven't been jailed yet, but even Amy Goodman was threatened with jail for covering Standing Rock, if people recall. She was faced with charges. She went to Canada, and they prevented her from going to Canada. So our own journalists are under threat. And I take this seriously. If somebody is under threat, I think they need to be defended, and we have to speak out and use their names and say, yes, we defend you. We defend you, which is what this resolution says. We defend Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and all other reporters and whistleblowers.
Time is off. Thank you. I would just, to clarify, no one said that we lived in a fascist state. People have said we are moving in the direction of a fascist state. That is not the same thing. And it's my time to talk for a minute. Okay. I get time, even though I'm the chair. And I would say that nobody said that we don't support Assange. You know, Daniel Ellsberg and the other journalists that are actually journalists, that is their role. And what we were stating here and what I've heard for some members of the board is that it's not our role. Our role is to support the station that they do have a coverage of all these issues that are so critical to us. So I just want to clarify, what I'm hearing is not we don't support Assange or we don't support this at all. What we're saying is, what I had said, there's incredible things happening in this country right now, and we're picking one issue, and it opens up a bottomless well for me of issues. Voter suppression in this country is hideous right now. You know, the children, 11 and 9-year-old kids that were threatened by the cop the other day because they were young black kids, you know, and told them that they couldn't have that BB gun and that he could have shot them. I mean, that's what's happening in our country right now. And to pick one issue for our board to have a political stance on is divisive. It's like, I support all of these issues. I support progressive issues. I don't think Assange should be trapped inside of the embassy. I don't think Snowden shouldn't be able to come home. I think he's a patriot. You know, and I think we can have a motion where we can condemn attack on journalists all over the place, all over the world, in this country. I mean, I think broadly, I think that's really critical. I mean, all the journalists have been murdered in Mexico and Central America, all the women that have been murdered in Central America, all the indigenous peoples. I mean, these are all issues where I'm very passionate about these issues. But when you pick one issue out, it's like you're not paying attention to the other stuff. You're cherry picking. That's just from my perspective. It's not that I don't support what you're saying, Steve, or what you're saying, Anthony. I think it's really critical to support journalists everywhere, not cut them up into little pieces and carry them out in a suitcase from their embassy. You know, I mean, there's horrible things happening right now. So I just think that's my two cents, is that I am for a myriad of issues, and that's why I'm doing this and volunteered to be working for KPFA. Thank you.
My name is Shelley Bull.
Marilla, did you want to say something?
In the beginning, does this specifically only refer to Julian Assange and a few other people, or does it say journalists like? Can you read that?
It says we call on KPFA and Pacifica to launch a campaign on our website and our programming to defend Julian Assange and all journalists and whistleblowers who are coming under increasing attacks by the U.S. government and the corporations who control the government.
Thank you.
That's it.
So I wanted to speak to, like, saying the station's going to have a campaign about something, or we're going to posted on the website. I think, Richard, please don't leave. Can you hold on for 1 second, Richard, because this is about the website.
Richard.
We need you, Richard.
I want to say about the website that that there is not a space for political statements on the website. What there is there's lots of space for posting about your program. There's lots of space for creating an event. There's so I think that rather than have a campaign, people can do a show and actually post what their show is about, talk about, you know, what the material is, and get the message out as a media resource and let people use the facts. And I understand maybe people don't like investigative journalism, but to me the difference between investigative journalism and other things is we use facts and we cite our sources. And if people want to do commentary, that's great also, but they need to label it as commentary and not present it as facts. And that's where we get into trouble. So I am much more comfortable with having we support coverage than saying, oh, they have to do this on the website. I think it's great to go to the station manager, to the program director, make proposals about things, go to programmers, go to the unpaid staff, go to the paid staff. Do it in a way that respects the integrity of the journalists at our station.
Thank you. Can we, that was well done. So we have two motions on the floor now. So, and an amendment that we, did we already vote on? We didn't vote on the amendment yet. Okay. We're just talking a lot. So on the amendment that Carol Travis made, you want to read it again?
The motion would read, be it resolved that KPFA-LSB supports coverage of all the attacks on all journalists and supports the maintenance of the critical freedom of press.
Okay. Everybody in favor of the amendment?
That's
the amendment to the substitute amendment.
So I do not accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay, but that doesn't matter. But
it does matter for how we vote.
I mean,
I guess it could be seen as a substitute emotion, and that's what you're characterizing it, and fine, so forget it.
Okay, one last vote.
Okay.
So now we're on the substitute motion first that came up on the floor, and you want to read it again, Carol?
I'd like to make a motion for a recall, or a proposal we have a recall on the vote. Not a recall.
Who are we going to recall, Steve?
Roll call. It's getting late in the day. Many hours. Roll call.
It requires a vote.
Everyone in favor of a roll call, raise their hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Those opposed?
Wait,
okay, sorry. So we will have a roll call vote.
Say 7. Tom Voorhees.
Tom Voorhees voted also yes. So it's 7.
8.
8 then.
8.
Now we're voting on the substitute motion first.
Oh, did you want
right?
To read it?
Yeah, so.
Okay. Be it resolved that the KPFA Local Station Board supports coverage of the dire situation of Julian Assange as an independent media voice and calls for an end of attacks on journalists and whistleblowers by the U.S. government and the corporations who control the government.
Okay. So all those in favor of the substitute motion, please raise your hand.
No, I have
oh, wait. What?
Roll call.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I need to go to bed. I'm tired. It's like I'm sorry. Yes.
As a substitute for Steve's. So if we vote for this one, if we're not going to come back to this other vote?
That's correct.
So if this fails, to an alternative, this is you're presenting this one before that one.
Put the mic to your mouth.
The most recent one goes first.
If this fails, then we go to the motion, the original motion.
Robert's rules.
So if you want the original motion, you would vote no.
Right.
That's
correct. Mm-hmm. And if you want this one, you
if you
go
want
with
this
one.
Motion, you vote yes.
Okay. So you put Julian Assange.
Talking to the mic.
I believe you just, did you have Julian Assange and this one before?
Yes. Carol's amendment took Julian Assange out. I did not accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. So his name is at this one.
So could you read it one more time?
The KPFA local station board supports coverage of the dire situation of Julian Assange as an independent media voice and calls for an end of attacks on journalists and whistleblowers by the U.S. government and the corporations who control the government. Roll call ready? I'll do it. Sharon Adams?
Yes.
Sharon Adams, yes. Ahmad is gone. Marilla Arguelles?
Yes.
Marilla Arguelles, yes. Campisi is gone. Chris Corey? Chris Corey, yes. Brian Crowell, no, is not here. Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Christina Huggins, yes. Scott Olson is not here. T.M. Scruggs, not here. Aki Tanaka, not here. Ramsey's not here. Carol Travis?
Yes.
Carol Travis, yes. Tom Borges? Tom, can you hear me?
Okay, no.
Tom, no. Carol Wolfley, yes. Anthony Fest?
No.
Anthony Fest, no. Sabrina Jacobs? Sabrina Jacobs, yes. Richard Walensky? Richard Walensky, yes. Steve Zeltzer?
No.
Steve Zeltzer, no. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Motion passes. And 3, no.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we're going on to probably a very brief treasurer's report.
Very brief treasurer's report because, as you have heard, Maria is on vacation in Mississippi. But she sent me some info. The bank balance currently available of KPFA as of the time she sent this to me is I'm just going to say it this way. It's $258,000. $258,000 is the bank balance available. Bills to pay, including medical benefits, are $37,000. The fund drive total, the total that was just achieved at the fund drive we just have, is $560,000. And that was 97.42% of our goal, which I was happy to hear because I know I was listening online, and it seemed like they were like, oh, we're not going to make it. I know, and then with the hearings and everything, so it really was a great thing that it came through. Yeah, so that's good. Maria wrote that the audit is moving on, and she'll continue working on it as soon as she gets home. So that's the extent of the treasurer's report. I couldn't get any more information from her because she's on vacation.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Yeah. This is probably won't get an answer today. Back during the budget discussions, one of the handouts had FY 2018 budgets and FY 2019 budgets, and also in between was what they call projected, which at that time, August, I think consisted of 9 months of actual and 3 months of budgeted from the, yeah, projected. Yeah, they call it projected. So, but it's three quarters actual and then one quarter. Anyway, what struck me, but not in time to discuss it during the budget discussions, was that compared to the both the FY 18 budget and the FY 19 budget, the projected personnel costs had just leaped. They were about $600,000 over what was budgeted for FY 18, and then the FY 19 budget was almost the same as FY 18. So evidently they're not expected to recur, but I'd like to know what they are. I emailed Maria a while back, and she said she was busy with other stuff and would get back to me when time permitted. But I just wonder if anybody knows what this could possibly be, because that's an overrun of, as I say, 600,000, or in percent, it's like 30-some percent. It's huge. And that could have been in the bank account. So where did it go and why?
I cannot answer that question because I don't have it in front of me. But what I would just like you to do is email me the question with the lines, and then I will try to get an answer for you on that, okay? Because I don't know, and I don't have it in front of me.
Thank you, Sharon.
But email me, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Treasurer's Report. We have a CAB report, Community Advisory Board report. It's also brief, I've been told. You've got mics everywhere.
Craig Dunkerley was here, but he had to leave, and he asked me to make a report that the Community Advisory Board is involved in doing their community needs assessment, and it should be coming out. And they, because we don't have a November meeting, they will be emailing it to you. And emailing it to the management, and then we can discuss it at the December meeting. The other thing is that the CAB is now required to have between 4 and 24 people on it, and right now they have 3 and maybe dropping down to 2. So if you know other people who are interested in joining the Community Advisory Board, please contact them. And that is, I think it's cab.kpfa@gmail.com. Thanks.
Thank you, Carol. Do we have any announcements people have to make?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted to announce there is an event on Saturday, November 10th, on Conscious Transitions and Legacies. And what that is there is a movement for regarding conscious death, and that involves things like death doulas, home funerals, green burials, use of art, and support, a holistic support for people in at end of life. And there will be 2 women. One is Kathleen Gustin, who is a Zen Buddhist nun who's been working with death for many years, and Linda McAllister from Berkeley City College, who teaches a class on death studies. And they will be there, and then Brooke Caputo and I will be talking about legacies, meaningful legacies, where people can create planned giving for KPFA, for the future sustaining of our station. So if you know anybody who might be interested, please let them know if you'd like to announce it, if you have a show or you know programmers or producers. And it will be at the station, and there are flyers on the table. Thanks. It's Saturday, November 10th at the station, Marilla. 2 to 4, and there's flyers on the table.
Thank you. I would like to just make a quick announcement that most people probably know this, but Nicole Sawaya recently passed away, way too young, from cancer, and she was such an important part of Pacific and KPFA for many years. So I just wanted to give her a little bit of homage here for her service and what she did for all of us. Thank you, Nicole, wherever you are. Any more announcements? Then we have reports from PNB board directors. We have two of them right here. So do you have any further report, Carol or Chris?
Maxie Jackson. We hired a new executive director whose name is Maxie Jackson. And if you go to the Pacifica website, you can get some information on his background. He's an African American man who is mostly a radio guy. I think that's his strongest stuff, is he's a radio guy. But he's managed radio, and so he's now actually in the job, and finding out just how many endless problems in every area we suffer from. But he's we got him.
Yeah. Heard very good things about him, so we're lucky to have him. And yes. Microphones all over the place.
Or maybe Carol or Chris. I'm just curious about what is the status of the reports, the various financial reports, because I don't have it in front of me, but I seem to recall that something was going to be due, like at the end of September, October, and the audit. And so it seems like maybe there's not enough time based on what you were saying before, so if we could have any update on that.
Okay, first of all, the election of Maxie was kind of a contentious one on the board. So I'm a little bit concerned about how the PNB ends up treating Maxie. It was a very close vote, actually. It was really, really close. So we'll have to see. There's no meaningful coalition that's behind Maxie right now. So we'll just have to see as it goes forward whether he can win the favor of the board or whether it'll just become more and more contentious for him. But I think so far it's been good. I'll also say that there's I see a kind of a coalition forming on the board due in large, no small part to the participation of KPFA. Because we have voted pretty consistently as a block, and that four-vote block really has a lot of force in the board, and we're very much together, and it's rare that we split apart, and there's probably 10 to 12 members that are voting consistently together now. So things are moving forward, other than the, you know, continual disruption by people who want to disrupt the meetings. The board seems to be functioning fairly well right now, I'll say. Yeah. So, as far as the audits are concerned, I think they're moving, along with surprising, alacrity. The only issue right now is that, NEDA's having trouble getting numbers out of some of the stations to actually put these, and this is just a continual problem with the audits, but, with this latest empowerment that we've given NEDA to actually move in and for lack of a better way of putting it, become pseudo or pro tem business managers for the stations that don't have them, I'm optimistic, or I should say more optimistic. That'd be a better way of putting it. More optimistic that they'll actually be able to move this process along more quickly. But I think we're nearing schedule, and I try not to sound too bullish about this stuff because we've been disappointed so many times with these issues in the past. But the current projection is that we'll be back on schedule early next year, which would be amazing because it would put us in line for our funding again. And and that would be a tremendous feat for Pacifica. Yes. So yeah, that's the buzz right now. Now, you know, I'll report back to you in a couple months here and see if that keeps going in that direction. But that is what Netta is saying currently. So there you have it.
So we all have to visualize that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thank you. Did you want to add anything to that, Carol?
I'm on the PNB too, you guys.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, we appreciate you, all you do on the board, Sabrina, because you put in a lot of time too. So.
Oh, thank you.
I wasn't sure if you wanted to pitch in.
Maxie Jackson is concerned as our new executive director, this last meeting, each meeting it gets better and better for him. So it seemed a little contentious in the beginning. Definitely we're all feeling it. But he has presented himself consistently in a very in a good way. I don't know how else to put it. He's very, very skillful. His interpersonal skills are they're right on point. Business acumen is through the roof. It's definitely getting better. As of this last meeting, it has definitely gotten better. And as far as with staying on time, we've got the deadline. Yeah, the investigation. We have that deadline coming up, and there is no national office anymore. There's only one person there, or one and a half people there. So national office is acting as a catalyst, but now there's only one person that's really acting as the catalyst between the national office, the information that we need to get from all of the stations, all the units, and NETA, NETA. So like Chris was saying, just want to echo what he was saying, that we are on board, but Maxie Jackson is definitely going to be making a huge difference. And having NETA makes a huge difference because we don't have the bizarre, biases that we were dealing with before with our last CFO.
Well, thank you very much for making all of us feel better and some confidence. And I have heard good things about him, too, that I've read. And I know that Quincy is told me that he's got a very good reputation in the radio world, too. So does Tom have any anything to say?
Tom does not.
Thank you, Tom. I know.
I had a question for our directors, PNB directors. Can someone please tell me what is the status right now of the Pacifica National Employee Handbook? I know that KPFA uses that as an interim waiting to see if it's going to be approved?
I think that we haven't approved it, but it's all done. And it's just that we don't get to it on the agenda. As we know, not getting to things on the agenda is common among us, but it's been updated and we've gotten it. Right, Chris? The employee handbook we've got copies of the updated one, but we haven't accepted it, correct? We just haven't gotten to it, but it's all done.
Are there a lot of changes?
That needs to go through the personnel committee.
That I cannot answer.
It needs to go through the personnel committee, which I am a member of as well.
So is it, as the personnel committee?
Jan Goodman is the chairperson, and she needs to call a meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a question for Tom. Tom, can you hear me? Could you tell us what's happening with the programming committee? We have I'll repeat after you. There's a meeting scheduled for next week. And Tom, what issues are they working on right now? What issues are they working on? Okay, thank you. Oh, I'm sure Tom said that we're going to, that they are discussing programming in relationship to bringing back the paying membership.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, next we have, I'm sorry, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that they're moving ahead, particularly with the audits, you know, because that has been a serious concern for a long time. And again, and I've said this before, for those people who believe that the only solution was bankruptcy, I think they've been proven wrong. We didn't have to go into bankruptcy. The other thing is that the, I'm concerned about is this idea that if we do get the audits completed, we're going to get CPB funding. Because frankly, I think they're going to try to shut it down. I don't think they want any public money going to community radio and that kind of thing. So I would not base my plans on the future of Pacifica and KPFA on getting CPB funding. That's problematic. And I do think, again, as far as the development of a multimedia platform, that is a plan that can actually transform KPFA and the Pacific Network to make it a more vital vehicle, broadcast vehicle, and also the establishment of two digital stations. If we digitize our analog channel, if we could have two additional digital channels here in the Bay Area, we could have additional programming and we could have live streams. There was a rally today I was at of 3,000 or 4,000 hotel workers, Marriott workers. There was a rally in San Francisco. There was a rally in Oakland. And it would have been possible with the multimedia platform to have interviews, live presentations from these hotel workers. If you want to reach workers who don't listen to KPFA, if you want to reach workers who don't listen to KPFA, then you'll cover their struggles live and have them on the air. That's how you'll reach them. And then they'll take KPFA and Pacifica seriously. That's how it happened in the 60s. That's why people listened to KPFA and Pacifica. Because it covered like Sproul Plaza rallies live. People could hear that. And we have to do the same here in the Bay Area and nationally.
Okay. So go ahead, Carol.
I have some more
stuff. Okay, it's all right. Those board reports, we're running out of time quickly here. Pacifica bylaws considerations was on the agenda, so, okay, go ahead.
Okay, on the back of your minutes from the September meeting is another copy of the bylaws petition amendments. And I just want to update you that people are filling these out and turning them in. You can use this if you'd like to gather signatures and bring them to me or put them in the KPFA local station board box at the station. So did anybody have any questions about how that's going? Okay.
Okay, thank you, Carol. And we have one more item, which was old business multimedia discussion. I think that was Steve.
Yeah. Well, I think I sent everyone the proposal for multimedia. It came out of committee meetings that we had and also people who are interested in developing multimedia, including Frank Sterling and John Perulis and a number of the apprentices. The apprentices are interested in doing more live programming. And the programming that they did at the Climate March was important in getting the voices out of the people who attended the Climate March. So I think this has to be a priority for KPFA and Pacifica, and we should pass this resolution. I'm not proposing we vote on it now, but we should pass a resolution that gives a framework for developing KPFA as a multimedia platform and what we can do towards that end. There is no channel on the KPFA website on the front page. So the people who wanted to see our programming at the Climate March were unable to find it. So why would you have to search to find live programming on KPFA when that's 30,000 people marched in San Francisco against the attack on the climate or the denialist that there is a climate crisis? So people were able to see the interviews, were able to participate, but they couldn't find it on the KPFA website. And again, I think it shows there's a disconnect and a difference about the priority of multimedia having live programming at KPFA and Pacifica. As I said earlier, There was mass marches in rallies in San Francisco and Oakland today. That could have been covered live by the apprentices. We could have had those voices. We could have got support from the unions, the many unions who participated in those marches and rallies, interviews, that kind of thing. That is what KPFA listeners want to hear. The one job is not enough. That's an issue that people want to hear, and it could have been brought out today live to our listeners on a digital channel or even on a streaming channel. That could have been available for people. So when we have programmers, which we do, we have apprentices who want to do this work, we should move ahead and organize and get it out.
Thank you. Well, we have a stack here. First, I would say I'm actually in agreement with a lot of things that you're saying. I would say about the live streaming, though, that it typically doesn't garner very many people watching because there's just... it's not curated, and people, according to my son, who just graduated from Berkeley a little while ago, and his friends, that I get to talk with young people, which is very exciting. It's like they don't watch live streaming, generally speaking. They watch podcasts. They watch stuff that's curated because they're not going to sit there for an hour and just watch people walk by. And generally speaking, that's what they're, the feedback I'm getting from them. Digitalization, I'm interested in that. I'm going to read up on that more and stuff. But the live streaming, he said, generally, unless you have a person at radio personality or a personality, podcast personalities, which they have a bunch of those on, that curates it, that's what draws them to it. But if that's not present, then they're not just going to sit there generally and watch this long, hours long, whatever it is. And having been in a union for 42 years, I can tell you my members, it was hard enough to get them to a meeting. They might look at a demonstration for a little bit, but generally, that's not the focus of most union members. They want the news of it, but they don't want to watch the whole thing. So, actually, Sharon was next, and then Carol, and then Richard.
I kind of have a point of information because I'm not sure what we're even talking about, because this is under old business, like multimedia discussion, but is there a motion, or are we just talking about this as a topic? Because I'm wondering when this is going to become completed business, honestly. Not that I don't support it, I'm just curious.
This was a agreement that we would have a multimedia committee. We had a number of meetings publicized here and input from different people who are interested in multimedia. And the proposal, you all have been sent copies of some of the things that came out of that from the apprentice committee, from people who are doing that multimedia work. So basically, it's not in the form of a motion, but I do think that that's something we should go forward with as a board, saying we want to develop the multimedia.
So, well, could I ask you, I didn't get anything personally that was a report, in the nature of report. So if you send it out, could you please resend it on the emails? You're saying
you
sent a report out?
I can resend it. It's not a problem.
Great.
I mean, I
Thank
passed
you.
It out, too.
Okay.
I did want to make a comment on what you said.
It was my time, and I just had a very simple question, and it was answered.
Okay, you're on the stack, but Carol was next. Hold that in your mind. Okay.
I have been involved with live streaming, and my experience is that I've gotten feedback from activists who are at events that they are uncomfortable. Some activists are uncomfortable with live streaming because it can be used against them, and they don't want to be identified, and they want to have choice. And I also, I was at the recordings and at the climate change march, and we were giving out program guides, and it was great. I mean, there were a lot of people, and we got a really good reception. But I did get an email from someone saying, a KPFA staff person was there smoking weed, and, on the live stream. So so there are sometimes problems with live streaming where we don't have control. I would like to encourage people to go in the direction of having edited video that can be put on the video channel of KPFA. And I know that, I've been working with Berkeley Community, Berkeley City College, and there are people there who are interested in helping with the video work, and I think there are people from other local organizations that can participate in those kinds of things. But I think we need to get to a place where we're asking people to submit podcasts and submit videos that we can have people make a choice about to see what's appropriate for our website.
Thank you, Carol. And Richard, and then Carol T, and then Steve.
Okay. First of all, you know, Carol's point about live streaming. The Trump administration has already asked for the names of people who liked a particular anti-Trump website on Facebook. And so we have to be very careful about any attempt to videotape any demonstrations. And this is something new, and that's why, in terms of live streaming, it becomes a very bad idea at the moment. In terms of the web page, after Laura left, there was nobody in charge of the front page that I know about. Miguel Guerrero and Antonio Ortiz, and I guess our temporary program director, Kevin, all have some say, and maybe Quincy. I was supposed to get a training on how to do the front page to be able to change things around if something immediate comes up to be able to put it up. Sometimes nobody is there. Antonio was planning to leave. There's nobody to replace him. He does a multitude of jobs. Kevin is temporary. So we're kind of in a crunch right now, and if I can manage to get someone to train me on the front page and I get some kind of instruction to follow up on certain things, then stuff can be put up on the day if someone contacts me, and that's fine. But right now, we're kind of in a void. So when Quincy gets back, I have intended to meet up with him and discuss some of this, so we're going to try to get a little bit more on board it. That's all I can say. And at that point, we have the option of putting stuff up for a day or two rather than things sitting on the front page for a week. And that would incorporate an immediate event.
Thank you. Carol's next, and then Steve.
I'll be very brief. I don't know what I think about all this. I mean, I don't think about it. I mean, I could start thinking about it now. This is not what I do. I do other stuff. And I think that this is stuff that's really important to people who are in the field, and there's no requirement for that on the LSB. And just like there are other things where there's no requirement to know finances, there's no requirement to know management systems, there's no requirement. I mean, and so the way in which we have these discussions about stuff that, you know, are probably important, and the decisions on how they unwind. But, you know, I'm totally in the dark. I kind of agreed with, it was interesting what Christina said, and I think that Carol's probably right, but in terms of, you know, danger and so on. But, blah, blah, blah.
Great finish. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I proposed earlier that we have a multimedia educational on the development of multimedia and different things that can be used. It's not one or the other. Unions have rallies. Everyone goes to speak at a union rally. Usually they decide that they want to be seen. You know, I mean, I don't think that we want to say because Trump and the CIA and the FBI are, you know, copying everything, that people shouldn't stream and shouldn't video. I mean, streaming, it can be archived. It can be later edited to podcasts. There are many things that can be done. But I agree, there's a lack of education. Let's do some education. And, okay, I have no problem. Let's do some education and talk about possibilities. And I appreciate, Richard, you're trying to do what you can on the website. That's good. But I am concerned that for an organization as large as KPFA, with as many paid staff that we don't have somebody who should be assigned to update the website and that kind of thing on a regular basis. That's something that really is a critical thing because people do go to websites. And the other thing is that we had a channel and we were doing streaming on KPFA and it stopped. And that's because the manager has said he's against doing live streaming. That's what he said. It's an open position. So that's his position. I understand that. I understand that's what his position. I don't agree with it. So we're going to have a discussion and talk about it. And it's an issue because, frankly, and if you look at the history of KPFA and Pacifica, when we were most strong and when we had the most listeners is when we did not only curated programs and now we did live events, powerful events. And that is something that we have to look at and develop.
Okay. I just want to say something quickly. I still don't know why we're talking about this. There's no motion. So I would propose that this agenda item be completed. It is no longer any unfinished business here. I'm not saying there can't be any multimedia discussion or training. I just think that in terms of our agenda, we should acknowledge that this particular item is going to be completed after our discussion today. And I cede the floor to Richard.
I've had a similar discussion with Quincy about that, and his perspective right now is we're radio and podcasts, and he doesn't want to extend any further. We do have a staffing issue, and we've always had a staffing issue, and that is always a problem, and it would be nice if we had the money to have more people to be doing more things. But this is where we are right now, and certain people can't do it, and certain people can. And I want to sit down with Quincy. We haven't had the discussion about the web page and about all of that, and I plan to sit down with Quincy at some point and go, okay, Q, what are we doing here? Who's in charge? I really want to know, not merely as an administrator, but also as a member of the board. And then I will have an idea of where we are and what we're doing and what we can do and what we're capable of doing and where we're going. I can report back to the board at that point, okay? Does that satisfy?
Thank you, Richard. And Carol?
I have lots to say, and I can't remember any of it. I move we adjourn.
Okay.